Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Get your Bibles and turn to, Exodus. How about Exodus? We'll see if we go there. Praise you, Lord. We're still in the statements of faith. We're going to be there a while because we're going to get some clarity. And this body's going to move in one direction, not splintered. We're not going to bring in a whole bunch of other beliefs and try to integrate them. We're going to go with God's Word, and we're going to be integrated into that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray right quick. Father, you heard the Word. You heard the amens. Now take us, don't just be here, Lord, but take us, drag us into your presence, into your Word. Change us with that presence and Word, not just so that we can be cleaned up, but so that we can touch the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Use us up, Lord. Use us in your kingdom. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody say amen.
Amen.
Let's get together here. Uh-oh, my wife's running away. Okay. I'm going to remind you of the statements of faith quickly. Not in order, just as in order the way the Lord's given them to us. Number one, two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. They must agree with God, or we must agree with God, and we must walk with those that agree with God, or we cannot walk together.
Right.
Number two, there is a real hell now and for eternity. He was created for Satan and all that choose to rebel against God. Number three, the law of repentance is required for all pretty much every day. Without repentance, there is no salvation, there's no forgiveness, there's no future. There's no power to change. Number four, an agreement between two. It's called a covenant. It's based on a defined contract or law. A defined contract or law. Pledged under a seal or a sign. In this covenant or agreement, the benefits under this covenant and this agreement, the benefits are defined by the law. And so are the penalties. You got it? A covenant is forever. And I may ruffle some feathers here, but I'm going to put the rest of it in there. Or until one of the two parties breaks the agreement. At that point, it is impossible to continue the covenant because the covenant requires two to operate. If it didn't, when Jesus said, "I want the whole world to be saved," that would have been it. It was over. Number five, God is the creator of all things. God is the original maker of all things. God gave dominion and the right to make from His creation. God no longer creates, but continues to mold in His likeness and image. In case you forgot, He's the creator, you're the created. He's the maker, you're the maker. Made. And He gave you all dominion over His creation, that's you, and His made. Remember? And we're to rule and reign over the creation, that's you. You must rule over you. Okay. Number six, God created man for fellowship with Him. You weren't created because He didn't have anything else to do, or He was bored that day. And you were just the old teapot that He happened to turn on a wheel. He had a plan. You're created for fellowship. You're created in His likeness and image because He likes to look at Himself. So you're made to look like Him. Come on, this is Word. I'm not making it up. All right. And then number seven, we're starting the Ten Commandments. Let me refresh you from last week. It's very important that we understand before we talk about the commandments why they're there. The Ten Commandments, they are a gift from God, but they're not given just to keep people. How many of you know that most laws are just made for revenue? There's a few that started off good for your safety, and then somebody turned it into a revenue game. That's all it is. Doesn't mean you're to break them. It just means you're to understand why they're made. God wrote 10 commandments. He had a very distinctive purpose for those commandments. Let me tell you what they were for. They were to restore mankind back to fellowship and to keep man in fellowship, restore and keep them in restoration. They are a formula for success. And if we understand covenant, then they also are a formula for failure if you don't enter into the proper understanding. You disregard them. Now is really not important, but that's part of the failure. Eternity is what you need to remember. You don't want to fail for eternity. If you obey them and you honor them, use them, you'll succeed now and for eternity. Childlike, right? All right. Let's quickly go over the steps again. When man fell, God had to come up with a plan. Let's keep it simple. He missed us, and we missed Him. Right? God says, this is not the way I planned it, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to sacrifice. I want you to take blood, and I want you to cleanse the altar. And I want you to take fire and purify the altar. Therefore, we have determined that the blood was never enough. You hear me? The blood was never enough. It took the fire. It took the fire to cleanse and to restore. Part of the fire that was given to us was the Ten Commandments. Once you apply the blood, then you can walk in the commandments. Before that, you can't. You're just going to hope to. They're made for success. They're the only way to succeed. The breaking or disregard is sure failure. Can I tell you about that failure? It won't always manifest like you think, but it'll manifest. Let me review what we covered last week very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. For some reason, the Ten Commandments have fallen through the religious cracks. They're now the Ten Suggestions. And if you don't obey them, well, that's all right. Plead the blood. Just plead it all over everything. In fact, why don't you just waste it? It wasn't enough for Jesus to bleed how much He bled. Let's just make Him bleed some more. Why don't we just get real? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. This is what God spoke of His law. Therefore, be careful to observe them, the Ten Commandments. For this is your wisdom. Do you ever wonder why there's so many dumb people out there? According to the Bible, it's because they don't understand and obey the Ten Commandments. For this is your wisdom and understanding. It's your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. My word, I never saw such a formula in all my life. You want to be called wise and understanding? All you got to do, the people out there will call you that if you obey the Ten Commandments. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon Him, if we obey the Ten Commandments, for whatever reason we can call upon Him. The Ten Commandments open the door to us calling upon the Lord. Verse 8, and what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. This is a command to parents, school teachers, Sunday school teachers, bosses, employers, employees, the entire world. You shall teach these laws diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. How did the church get ashamed of the Ten Commandments? How did a nation that's been so blessed by God hide the Ten Commandments out of school when it says we're to talk of them when we sit in our house? You shall write them on your doorpost of your house and on your gates to give you large... Here's what the Ten Commandments are for, verse 10 and 11. To give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. I'm so encouraged about this. I'm so encouraged because this applies to everyone. The Ten Commandments, God issued this, these decrees so that we could build large, we could live and have large and beautiful cities which we did not build. We can have houses full of all good things which you did not fill. Anybody here believe God?
Yes.
Then, man, go open your cupboards and start letting it be full. Open your bank accounts. Open them by the Ten Commandments, by obeying them and talking about them. Don't be ashamed to tell the world. You're not supposed to steal. You're not supposed to lie. Tell those guys that you associate with, hey, don't talk about your wife that way. Don't talk about women that way. And if you really did that, you're a lying, no good dog. Come on, stand up for something. Because it says it'll open up everything for you. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46. Set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe. All of the words of the law. Oh, would you might warp their little teeny tiny minds. You have a command of God to do just exactly that. You warp their minds towards God. Later they'll make their own mind up, but right now you make their mind up for them. Verse 47. For it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life. See, you guys had another picture of what your life was. You want life? Ten Commandments will give it to you. And by this word, you shall prolong your days. You want a longer life? Talk more about the commandments. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law. I don't know how the loosey-goosey movement in the church decided that the Ten Commandments fell because Jesus came. When we realized that the Ten Commandments, Jesus spoke every day of the Ten Commandments and then expanded on them and required more and more. Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The Bible says fulfill. Let's just say it right. To fill them full. Fill you full of them. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is done. Can I just make that personally? God ain't going to let up on you until you obey every one of them. Jesus is not going to let up. He's not going to let up. So if you're going to live as a Christian, whatever belief you have, if you're going to be a Christian, that means a Christ-like being, it says here that He's not going to let up until everything is fulfilled in your life. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but I've had big name before. Didn't get me anywhere. I want a big name in the kingdom. It'll last for eternity. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does and teaches. It didn't say whoever does, and it didn't say whoever teaches. It says whoever does and teaches. You want the windows of heaven open? You got to do them, and you got to talk about them. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Old Testament teachers, preachers, and doers, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So much for the cheap gospel. Let's go through the commandments. I promised to do that. I wanted to prelude that, remind you. Number one, Exodus 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's kind of the, by the way, y'all kind of preached the sermon and sang the sermon and everything before I got started, right? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, I'm going to break these words down, and you're going to have to trust me unless you brought your concordance. If you brought your concordance, I'll tell you where to go. Other gods. Other. You shall not have any hinderer. You shall not have any other following. You shall not have a next god or a strange god. You shall not have a different god. You shall not have a procrastinator god. I found that interesting. When God tells you something, you don't procrastinate because that is a god to say, I'll get to it later. You shall not have anything that delays, defers, or calls lateness. In other words, nothing will impede you doing what God wants you to do. Or it's another god. You'll not have any other alternative, and you'll not have any other focus. You shall have no other gods. By the way, let me list a few that I came across. I thought of something would hinder us from obeying God. Y'all know what all the commandments are? So that you'll know what I'm talking about, so that nobody says I didn't get it, I'm going to read you the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You're to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You're to honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. Anything beyond that is another god. What are some other gods that touch us, that get in our way? Sports. I'll tell you, the church has sacrificed every weekend because of some stupid game. Listen to what I'm saying. Because of a game, life is laid down. That's another god. Recreation. Well, I needed this weekend off. No, you needed the weekend on so the week will go easier. Business. Well, I just got too busy. Yes, sir, according to the Ten Commandments, that's exactly what you did, and you better change it. We see in there that it says if you can't get it done in the 6 days, woe be to you if you work on the seventh. Spouse. Well, my wife said, and my wife, you know what? You better figure out who God is because it's not your wife or your husband. Let me tell you something, openly, with my wife standing here. I don't care. She never was more important than God. My children were never more important than God. My business is never more important than God. And no Super Bowl is. No playoff of any kind. Because God's done all the playing off. I want to go where the winner is. Not money. Well, you see, I just needed one more day to make that extra money. The Bible says, you know what that'll turn out to be? You'll have pockets with holes in it. And the more money you put in, the more you'll lose. My grandchildren are not more important, not their birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, or anything else. My mom and dad taught me something. I thought it was a little ridiculous when I was young, but I think it's right. I'm getting older. They were smarter than I thought they were. When guests came to our house, they said, we're going to church. Are you coming? If they said, well, we don't want to go to church, we'd rather go. They'd say, well, you go, and we're going to go to church. You know, it was their house. They'd leave them standing. Didn't make any difference what they were going to do. It's time to go to church. It was have a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and if there were revivals, every night. And if us boys were out playing and we were dirty, filthy, we got in the car, dirty, filthy, and we went to church. Until our pride worked a little bit, and then we started taking baths before church. Children, family of any type, Jesus taught us that in the Word. I'm going to tell you what He said. He said, let the dead bury the dead. That means those that are going after life, they're going to keep going after life. And everybody else, the blaze is with them. Possessions. Well, see, I had to paint my fence. My house was just, it was just, you know, really needed my attention. Does God need your attention? You know, we need to get an understanding. God needs my attention. And I desperately need His. So what's the problem? Why don't we just hook up? My animals. Well, I had an animal down. Well, shoot it. Let's move on. Let's get to what's important. Let's get to God. Eat it when you get home. I don't care. Let's get to God. Let's just don't lose our priorities and make an animal a God. How about hobbies? Well, come on. There's God. There's hobbies. Fun. Let me tell you something. I've had more fun this morning than I'll have all next week. I don't care what happens next week. I cash a $1 million check next week and I'm going to have more fun on Sunday. Why? Because God does meet us here. And there can't be anything better than that. Relaxation. Well, you see, I was real tired. Well, I was tired. Well, I got news. My dad, nobody ever worked harder than him, and he made it every time church doors open. There's nobody in here works harder than Connie and I do, and we make it. Yeah, but my wife wanted to go doing so-and-so. Well, she can want in one hand and spit in the other. That's what my grandmother always said, and see which one gets full the quickest. We're going to go to church. Why do we want to go to church? Well, let's start off like a little child, because Papa told me to. Then let's get a little bit more mature and find out that I get something when I go to church. And then we can get real mature and say, you know what? I not only get, I got something to give at church. And then we can really get mature and say, because God wants me to. And I'm touched by that. Sleep. Don't even go there. You just turned that TV off a little earlier. Food, ambition. Here's a dangerous one. My ministry kept me out late last night. You don't understand. I stayed up all night last night praying. Well, God wasn't listening all night. You know how I know that? Because He said, I already knew what you need before you ask. Meet me in church. We'll talk about it. Maybe I'll give the preacher, the prophet, the teacher something to tell you that you need it. But if you plan on missing church because of prayer, I'm not hearing you. You understand that God's got rules and He's absolute in them? I hope you understand that, because I'm going to sound very harsh if you don't. My days off are mine. Anybody ever heard that? My days off are mine. Okay. I'll talk to you later in a counseling session sometime. I warn you, they're not yours. A Christian doesn't own anything, including his days. He's got God. He don't need anything else. Hallelujah. You'll have no other gods. I haven't even touched the gods. I just touched the others. You'll have no other magistrates. You know what a magistrate is? A judge. That's the next word. You'll have no other judge but God. No other judge. Not even you. Not even you. Not even me. Not any judge. Not neighbor, friend, or anyone else. I'll have no other gods before the real one. I'll have no other rulers or divine ones. I'm not going to have a saint that looks like somebody on my dash. It ain't going to be a fish on my bumper. I'll not have any of the gods before me. I'll not have any of the strength or might or chiefs. I will not depend on my work as a god. Do you know what's rampant in the church? I mean, it's just rampant. It's wild. Is that if I get in trouble, I can work my way out. I can just work a little harder That's another God, by the way. If you knew the real God, He'd say, I don't need you to get you out of trouble. You need me to get you out of trouble. I'll not have any other gods before me, above me, over me, against me, beside me. Or I'll not have any... When you come... God says this to you. When you come to me, don't you tell me according to so-and-so. I heard the preacher say, well, you better research it. I don't know about y'all, but I've heard a couple of preachers get a little weird. They've made some mistakes. I knew you didn't think they did that, but they do that once in a while. So you got a Bible, and you got a God, and you got prayer. You need to check it out in the Spirit. Don't say, on account of. That's an excuse. I saw a sign from an auto mechanic's garage the other day. It said, don't mess up a good reason with a good excuse. Don't mess up a good reason with a good excuse. Nothing. Not addition to. You have no other source of information, no other source of life. Now, here comes the good one. No other interest above God. No other interest above God. There's nothing more interesting than God. And guys, I love business. I love business. Because I know that my God's a businessman, and I want to be like Him. Have no problem with that. But my interest is in God, not in the business that He gives me. He can take it. He can have it. I don't care. If He don't run it, the Bible says of this body right here, if God doesn't build it, those that build, build in vain. If He would say that about His own temple, wouldn't He say that about your business? Let's go number two. Exodus 20, verses 4 through 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. I'm going to read this King James because that's how you have to use the Strong's, or basically have to. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Let's open it up and see. That's three verses. Let's start with number four. What is a graven image? Anybody got an answer? Say it again. Okay. A graven image, and I'm not going to tell you all the words, but it means an idol, a carved image, a likeness. A likeness. Property. Something that you look at and think of God instead of looking at God and thinking of Him. Not even a reminder of God. I found this strange when I studied this. You don't have anything in your house that even reminds you of God. Why? I thought you walked in Him and lived in Him and He lived in you and He spoke to you constantly. What reminder do you need? I don't want to look at something. I don't want to look at something and picture Jesus. I want to see Him real. I don't need a substitute. What if I would tell you that I'd like to have a certain kind of picture so that when I looked at you, I could remember you, but you're standing right in front of me all the time. Does that make sense to you? I don't need it. What I need is the constant, conscious. I mean, God is real all the time, every moment, every day, and just seeing you reminds me at least of His grace. That's a joke. Come on. I'm supposed to see God in the trees that stand praising and the rocks that cry out. No, I'm the guy. I'm the guy that's supposed to have Jesus on my mind all the time praising and crying out. Not causing you to or something else to do that. I don't put a praise cup on my table, so every time I look at that, I remember that I should be praising. What's a likeness then? If that's a graven image, what's a likeness? It's a shape. It's a phantom. An embodiment. A similitude. A form. Or an image. A representation. To me, that's like diet food. I got the real thing, or I got this garbage over here where everything's been taken out of it to remind me of the real thing. And so when I put it in the stomach, it's supposed to do the same thing as the real thing, but it never works. I don't need it. I need the real thing. Come on, y'all can go along with me a little bit. If you're mad at me, well, write me a nasty letter, but help me today. No graven image, no likeness of anything that isn't heaven. Can I just make a couple of suggestions to you? The heaven is from what I see on the earth up. I'm not supposed to make clouds on the wall and say that reminds me of God. I'm not supposed to have a little rainbow in my back window that says, I'm one of these, whatever that is. Watch when you do that. I don't have little angels that fly around with little bow and arrows, little chubby angels. I don't need those on my wall or on my shelf or not even hanging on my rearview mirror. I don't need that. Because my very breath, let me tell you what should remind you of God. I got a heartbeat. You know what else? I have thought processes. I don't want my owner to roll the window down so I can sit out and go, are you hearing me? My God talks to me continually. Continually. One of the things that I always do, and sometimes it aggravates her, but we're not going to be in the same house. If she's in a different room, I'm going to keep her reminded I'm there. Don't I? Oh, yeah. How much more God? How much more God? When you're sleeping, He might take His hairy arm and rub on your nose. Just to wake you up. You know. Or just kind of bump you hard so you remember I'm here. Come on. God enjoys us. And when we're asleep and when we're not there, He misses us. So He gives us a nudge. It's exciting. I don't need a statue swinging around and banging me in the head. He's doing it. Hey, boy, I'm here. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you something. I like God. I don't get mad at Him when He reminds me that He's there. No graven image, no likeness in this heaven or that is in the earth or beneath. My ground. You know we own property? We have interest in property in at least 3 states that I know about. And there may be more. You don't even know some of it. You know what? I don't care. Because God put it together. He's got it all under control. There's no nobody going to run off with it. And if they do, I got God and they got the land. Which one got out better? No piece of ground, no nation. My nation will never come before God. Ever. Are you hearing me? My nation will never come before God. If there's ever a decision has to be made. I'm telling you publicly my decision is made. No house. No group of people. No little fish on the bumper. No peace signs. Nothing on this earth is to take the place of what and who God is. Now, I may do this to remind somebody else. Maybe I'll get by with it, but it better not be for me. If I forget God, would it be all right if I just forget you once in a while? Just, oh yeah, I do have a wife. That'd make a good Valentine's gift. Oh, I remembered I had a wife. Here's the Valentine gift. Wouldn't that go over real swell? Well, how much more us when we just go around doing our business and every once in a while, maybe once a day if we're fortunate, we remember there's a God. That makes Him feel real important to us, doesn't it? Exodus 20, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. What does bow yourself down mean? It covers a lot of territory. One of them is submit your will. Don't you submit your will to anything but God. Nothing. And you do it so much. You stand submitted to God that so much that when you're in a group of a whole bunch of liars, you can't do anything but tell the truth. And when everybody around you is cussing three blue streaks, you can't help it. I'm sorry. I'm set apart. I'm sanctified. Don't you understand? That's the way it is. I've been around God and I haven't heard Him say that. So I don't say that. In fact, I've never had Him cuss me out. Now come on, let's think a little bit. I've never had God cuss me out. Not in His written word, not by His Spirit. Never once have I had that happen. So I guess I have the permission to do it just as much. I don't bow myself. I don't stoop. I don't worship. I don't revere. I don't make superior. I don't make superior. When I hear the scientific community tell me that you came from a monkey, I am not putting up with that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to believe it. In fact, I'm going to think a little bit lower of that man than before we first talked. Don't give yourself to anything but God. Don't do that. Don't do that. To nothing else. I've told you openly that we have an agreement, my wife and I, and I'm not going to hear oops. Plain enough, there aren't going to be any oops. Everybody know what I mean by that? No circumstances. You just didn't understand the pressures. Well, tut, tut, and tisk, tisk. I'm not going to give myself to it. I'm not going to bow down to them. I'm not going to serve them. I'm not going to work for them. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm not going to entice them. And I'm not going to be enticed by them. I'm not going to waste any energy, and I'm not going to love just every little thing that comes along. Don't you just love that, Harry? No. Hey, look at my puppy dog. Don't you just love it? No. No. Sorry. You don't see my new car? Don't you just love that? No. No, I've got my love reserved for important things. Don't you just love that steak? Man, I'll eat it all day, but love it? Our language is everything. Here's why. Because God is a jealous God. Have you ever pictured a jealous man or a woman? What a pain in the rump they are. I'm telling you they are. They won't let somebody man or beast, get within 100 miles of what they think they own. And you can see the little green-eyed dragon start monster coming out. Well, I got news for you. Don't make him zealous. That's the word. Don't make him zealous. Don't make him hot. I got some good news for you guys. You can make God mad. And you don't even have to disobey. You just kind of look away. You act like there might be something else out there that's more important to him. And he gets hot. Now you see, the exciting part is that that means he loves me that much. And you know what? He wrote this with me in mind. He didn't write that with you in mind. He wrote that with me in mind. You're on your own. I got a real personal relationship with him. Okay? Don't make him enthusiastic about this. Don't get him excited. That's what it says. Because he is an excitable God. Don't cause him to get excited. Don't make him angry. And don't provoke him. Because he can fit all of those. I'm telling you, I've had a couple of run-ins with him. And it wasn't even on a personal basis. I've felt the heart of God when he gets mad. Anybody ever done that before? I'm not talking about when we sin. That's more of a hurt for him. I'm talking about when he gets upset. If you don't think God don't get upset, maybe you need to have a little personal encounter with him when he is. There's a fire. And you just kind of, it's like you know, that big abyss that you dive over, and every time you go over the side of it, you kind of go, that's kind of the way it is. You know it's not about you. You know you're not going to fall, but just the fact that it's there makes you go. And when God begins to get angry, the whole world begins to get that feeling. Or they should. That one time I saw his hand come down and hit that desk, I saw the whole world go, poof. Woke me out of a dead sleep, man. Poof. And I heard him say, he didn't say, I'm mad at you. I saw him get mad, and he said, they're not going to do what I told them to do. And he was not happy. My heart sunk because I knew there was no success for those people that he was referring to. That's all making jealous. He's a jealous God. You know what God means? God. All strength. All might, all power, no other. That's simple enough. Here's the rough part. It says that when you've got him excited, when you've crossed him, visiting the iniquity of. Visiting. Let me tell you what this means. He oversees. He takes it personal. And this particular job, he oversees. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children. He's in charge of. He does the reckoning. It's his judgment, and he does the reckoning. That's what this word means. What is iniquity? He makes a decision about the perversity of the action. Perversity. Evil. Guilt. Consequences of wrongdoing. Punishment, are holding the responsibility of iniquity. Iniquity means you are responsible. Can I make it simple to you? I'm going to say it again. Iniquity means God has judged you to be responsible. And that action is visited on the fathers. What does the fathers mean? It means the chief. Are you listening? The head, the founder of this iniquity. Well, what iniquity, Stan? How about not teaching your children the Ten Commandments? Let's just lump it all up. Not teaching them. Not requiring of them to obey. It applies to those that are responsible. Well, if that's the case, what are the children? The children are everybody that was in that was the subject to that. What do you mean, Stan? The people that listened and followed. Let me say it clearly. It's easy in a family situation. If I have children and I don't teach them the Ten Commandments, I'm going to suffer and they're going to suffer. Because God doesn't waver because you're a good person. I showed Steve and Julian a picture of mine. I need to bring it to you. It's a cute little picture of Jason standing, Cody, standing in his flight suit. And Steve said, "Stan, how do you get them to look so much like you?" I said, "Oh, he doesn't really look that much like me, except in his..." I taught my son that. I did. He thought I was a mean monster. When I enforced the rules, when I said, "No, sir, you're not going to do that." When I said, "Yes, sir, you are going to do that." The last time I was enforcing over an issue, he was 24 years old, 23 years old, maybe 22, maybe wasn't quite that, maybe 22 years old. And he was mad at me and I was standing my ground. And he said, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" I said, "Well, why don't you get your skinny little butt up here and we'll find out. We'll find out right here and right now what I'm going to do about it." Now, he's 6'4" or 6'5". I don't care. I don't care. Papa, you demand respect. Because God is going to demand respect. And you teach him what God looks like. You teach them. Don't let them find out the hard way. Don't let them find out while they're in jail or they're in some drug situation, hospital, whatever. Don't let them find out there. Teach them now. What God does. God loves us so much that He teaches us. Let me finish this one, then I got to stop. The last part of this, Exodus 26, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. What is mercy? You know, we must understand something. Let me tell you something. Mercy doesn't come from works. You can't work your way into mercy. The fact that you've ever made a mistake and you're still alive proves mercy. Mercy is a gift from God. That's why we're all alive right now. You don't obey the Ten Commandments and get mercy. Let me tell you what mercy is. Mercy is me standing here talking to you about Ten Commandments and you listening. That's mercy. You hear what I'm saying? You can say, "I don't need this." If you say that and you still have another heartbeat, that's mercy. It is. God loves us so much, He gives us many chances. To what? Why does He want us to obey? I said at the beginning, I'm going to ask you again. Why does He want us to obey the Ten Commandments? For us? Restoration of fellowship. Now let's turn it around. Because when we started this, remember I said, the first thought that comes into everybody's mind is it's about me. We obey the Ten Commandments to get what we can get. No. Remember we talked about the heart of God. The heart of God is the one that's hurt here. We obey the Ten Commandments because we don't want Him to hurt anymore. And what do we get out of that? Prosperity, abundance, health, all of that comes. But let's get it right. Let's don't seek Him for what He has. Let's seek Him for who He is. He's the lover of my soul. Mercy says that He loved me before I deserved it. And He did. Love is writing a Ten Commandments. It's a map so that I can get to where I want to go. And He was merciful, loved me enough to give me that. Mercy is kindness, beauty, favor, good deeds, and faithfulness. It's a reward for something you didn't even earn. But here's the cool part. I'm going to show mercy, my love, my good deeds, my kindness to not only those that obey the commandments, but to thousands more because of your obedience. Now, do you care about anybody else? Do you care enough about other people to bring mercy and kindness to them by your obedience? To those that keep His commandments, keep. The very first word is to hedge about. Love that picture. To hedge about. You know what that is? The commandments are so important to me that I don't let anything else interfere. I hedge about them. My whole life is to protect them, to teach them, to guard, to protect, to attend to the Ten Commandments. Anybody ever attend to the Ten Commandments? You ever felt like an attendant to the Ten Commandments? Well, that's part of the definition. You are attend to them. Well, how does that work? Well, you speak them every day. You think about them every day. You write them on the doorpost. Remember? What are the commandments? Then we got to stop for today. What are the commandments? Don't read them to me. I ask you what they were. The definition. Command. Law. Ordinance. Precept. Charge. Commission. What is the Great Commission? Go and tell them what? What are you going to tell them? What's the good news? According to this, we got Ten Commandments. The good news is, man, we got Ten Commandments. They're not something that beats us over the head, that rules us with a heavy hand. I got some good news, Chuck. I got Ten Commandments. They're straight from the finger of God. This is exciting. And then Jesus came along and said, they came right off the stone and went on, wrote them on my heart. And they began to give me life and direction. And then you know what else happened? Does that happen? I began to understand that if I obey them, I can lead others into that same glorious thing that God and I have. It's not a matter of telling people. It's a matter of showing people. The older I get, the more I see the hand of God in my life. And the more excited I get, not the more depressed I get, the more excited I get. I am so blessed because my parents taught me the Ten Commandments. And not only did they teach me, they made me obey them. And when I didn't, I made them zealous. And when I got older, it wasn't hard for me to meet the real Father. Because there wasn't anything new. It was the same story. The difference is, from them I got a belt. From Him I get a reward. And sometimes a little boot, but it's okay. That's okay. He's never hurt me beyond anything that I couldn't take. Not one time. I got good news. God has given me a commandment, an ordinance, a law, a formula that really works. It really works. So if I go out there and I tell them about Jesus and I don't tell them about what He wrote on the stone, what have I done? I've taught a cheap gospel, a very cheap gospel. I've taken the suffering part and I've not talked about the reward. Jesus Remember, we've talked about this. Jesus laid His life down for what? The Father. Because the Father was writing still. Jesus laid His life down to us. He didn't die for you. He died for the Father. He died for the precept, the concept, the laws of the Father. And He said, now, guys, take up your cross and follow Me. Well, I thought that just meant, well, it requires a little more than that. It requires the creation to obey the Creator. It requires the creation to take control of the created. Are you hearing me? I am a created being. I have rule and reign over this made being. Remember? God made us from the dust of the earth. But we were created when He breathed into us the breath of life. The breath of life is the Ten Commandments. The breath of life is the heart of God. And what has been breathed into me has dominion over the dirt. And if I say any different, if I say I just can't control this flesh, I've called God a liar. The Bible said I've crucified Jesus again, afresh and anew. There's the breath of God in me. Man, I want to jump and shout. That's not me. That's the breath of God in me that rules over the dirt. My dirt, your dirt, everything above and below and on the earth. And that comes alive when I obey the concepts, the precepts of God. Praise the Lord. That's not the end, but that's where we're going to stop. The commandments are a gift from God. Here's the way it works. The Holy Spirit does the drawing. The Holy Spirit does the drawing. And He says, come. Come on, follow Me. Well, but I haven't been there before. He said, trust Me. Come on. Well, what's the catch? Ain't no catch. There's no catch. I will give you life and that more abundantly. I will give you a set of formulas that if you follow them, you will, there's nothing that you can think of that's as big as what I'm going to do for you and give to you. Right. Far beyond anything you've ever thought or asked if you just follow Me. And we as little children, we run and we fall and say, I'm for it. Give Me the suckers. Give Me the lollipops. I want the candy. And God says, no problem. Here's a little candy. But do you want more? In case you all don't know how God works, this is the way He works. Newborn people, newborn Christians, they're so excited, they're on fire. They're not too sure why, but they are. And when God begins to explain why they're so excited, the church presents it like it's bad and it's rough and it's hard. And the Lord, my Lord, says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the flesh looks at the Ten Commandments and says, I don't want to do that. And because we haven't practiced dominion, the breath of God doesn't have control. And the flesh does what it wants. Why do you think it says, write them on the doorpost of your heart. Write them on the doors of your house. Set and talk about them. So that that becomes so ingrained in you that the flesh no longer has anything to say. Now, what happened to the little childlike move? You just stepped up. Glory to glory. That step that goes up. God enlightens you and He informs you, but He empowers you. He doesn't ask you to do anything that He doesn't empower you to do. And all you have to do is trust Him. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing on this earth, above this earth, below this earth, that can be trusted like God can be trusted. And we're the fool when we question Him. You know why we're the fool? Because we allowed the dirt to speak instead of the precepts of God to speak. Do you understand that the Ten Commandments are the breath of God? They're not something we have to obey. When God breathed into us His breath, there's something in us that wants to do that. People have to be trained to be bad. They don't get born bad. They don't get born homosexuals, murderers, rapists. They don't get born under those. I don't care what scientists or psychologists tell you. It's a lie. They're the dopes. We've got the Word of God. We've got all science and all answers. We don't ask them anything. The Bible says, I don't care what you think of that child. Train them in the way they should go, and when they're older, they'll not depart from it. Doesn't it say that? Do you believe God? Then I don't care what you see. That's the way it is. Now, if God can say that about your offspring, what does He say about His offspring? If you'll let me train you, God would say, your father would tell you, if you'll let me train you, you won't depart from it. But you don't know my flesh. What do you mean I don't know your flesh? I made your flesh. And I gave you control over it. Don't tell me what I don't know. Don't tell me what I don't understand. Can you hear God saying that to people that have given lame excuses and reasons? Don't tell me what I understand. I understood you before the foundations of the earth. I tailored the word, chastisement, correction, direction for you. Everybody in here has had that tailored to them. Custom made by God. We ought to get a name plaque put on that. Right on our backs. Custom made by God. God didn't just take His finger and write law. He took His finger and wrote you. And He's just trying to put you together for success. I don't think in my whole life I ever got goosebumps talking about the Ten Commandments, but I got them right now. I am excited about that. I'm beginning to understand the tremendous blessing that I got from my parents. And you know what else I understand? The tremendous blessing my children got from me. I may have done it ignorant, but now I see the reason. The blessing from being faithful to wife and friends. Not just God, but those that He puts me with. The blessing from that. This is not a hard... By the way, it's not hard for me to be faithful to her. Why would it be hard for me to be faithful to God? And now I'm going to ask you something. Why do you think it would be hard for me to be faithful to you? Number one, if you're walking after God, I have no trouble being faithful to you. If you turn your back on God, where my position is you just turned your back on me. I'm not going to be over here. So if you turn your back on God, you're facing me. That's not the way it's going to work. I promise you, all ears to hear, from now and eternity, I'm going to be close enough to God. You turn your back on God, you and I are through. We have no more to talk. If you can't talk to Him, you can't talk to me. Did y'all ever have that feeling? I'm talking about your own friends. You're going to treat him that way, you're treating me that way. Well, let's get in reality here. I told you what happened if you touched my wife. How much more so if you touch my God? Because she's not my God. Is there pressure here? Is it? Because I'm feeling something here. If you're under pressure right now, that's God talking to you. And I want to give you the opportunity to respond to Him. Right here, right now, you can embarrass yourself. Don't I give a great opportunity? Why don't we do this? We can admit that there's something wrong. And we want to make it right. Isn't that what it really is about? I'll tell you one thing about God. He don't require you to bow very far before He lifts your head. Unlike the devil. unlike your flesh. Come on, if you've got the right relationship with God, then let's get this thing over with and get out of here. If you don't, let's get this thing over with and get out of here. I'm not a patient man. And take commands. It's more than a privilege. It's a requirement. It's a requirement. Absolutely. All hearts clear? If God's calling you or talking to you anyway, let's take care of it. Let's get it cleared up. But you know what? The reason we don't have the normal altar here is because we don't need it. We don't need it. You bow before God in spirit and you say, God, I'm sorry. I want to make things better. I want to make them right. You can bank on it. That's more important than your tears. Everybody says God sees the tears. No, He don't. He hears tears. Do you know that? Check your word. He hears tears. He doesn't see them. You can cry a bucket of tears, it won't make a bit of difference. He hears the heart. He hears when the heart is broken and weeping and crying out, saying, God. Thank God for that. It causes some problems with some people, but let's cause problems with them. We don't care. I want to hang around with a bunch of people that are serious about God. So serious that they're tender. Not to cry, not to weep, but the direction changes. Crystal was over at the house last night. And there was a word that came forth and said, you know what? I think Jesus wants your undivided attention for 3 months. No dating, no anything. 3 months, undivided attention. Crystal said, I can do that. I can do that. Let's see this. And while the voice was still speaking, she looks at the calendar and says, what is today? 10th? Okay. That's what God's looking for. That's what God's looking for. He wasn't looking for your tears. And He wasn't looking for us laying hands on you, passing out. That doesn't impress Him. What impresses Him is the heart. Just like that. No questions asked. She got paid $3.75 to do that. Oh, did he take his quarters back? She'd take it all. You hear me? No tears, no altars, no promises, nothing. Just change. Do it. If I painted a picture of you today of a good thing, take the good thing. Don't be afraid of the Ten Commandments. Because I tell you this, and I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt, you never looked for God. You never ran after God. He came after you. And He don't come after losers. Never. If He knows you're a loser, He's going to leave you alone. Mike's got people working for him. I'll guarantee you, if when they fill out the resume, it says loser, he doesn't call them back. Right? You don't call them back unless you got some sewers that need to be cleaned out. Are you hearing me? I shouldn't have gone there. I'm just saying, if God sees loser, He gives up. And His eyesight's better than ours. So if God is touching your heart, this is my word to you, if God's touching your heart, you're not a loser. You're a winner. And you can expect some more touch. You can expect some more touch. Why? Because God wants more of you than you've ever wanted of Him. He'll bug you. He loves you so much, He don't want you to sleep. He don't want you to eat. He don't want you to go to work. He don't want you to do nothing but be with Him. And so when you go to work, He says, I'll be with you. Well, I thought I could leave you here. No way. No way. And you say, some doo-doo comes out of your mouth. And you go, whoops! And He goes, let's don't do that anymore. Doesn't He? I like being real. I got a good picture of God. I know what He sticks close, so I know what He does. He doesn't do that thing I told you I did with homosexuals. He doesn't do that because you didn't excite Him. You know why you didn't excite Him? Because He saw this before the foundations of the earth, and He took you anyway. He's already seen all your mistakes. You're not hiding anything. But He's tailoring the ministry according to the mistakes that He's seen. Because He knows if you continue in that mistake, it's destruction. So He tailors the ministry according to the mistakes that He's already seen in the future, not what He's seen in the past. He's already dealt with that, remember? So now He's tailoring the next step for what He sees in the future. And so whatever's going on right now, it's for your good in the future. You know what? God's not a child molester. He's not one that makes a promise and abandons. He doesn't break promises. He doesn't do that. Let's don't serve man. Let's don't get our eyes on man. Let's keep it on God. Man will fail you. God will not. My desire in my life is to cause no one to stumble. But I'm just going to guarantee you that I will. Because I'm still in this dirt package. As long as I'm in that, we're going to cause each other to bump around and fumble around. You hear me? But you know what? God's already seen it. He's already taken care of it. Don't you worry about it. The responsibility of the world's not on your shoulders. It's on God's shoulders. You need to trust Him. We clear? The Ten Commandments, they're for our benefit and His benefit, not just His. Stand with me. Amen. One of the things that I know this because I got mileage on me, is that we speak truth around here. And we speak it in a way we can understand. And it may put little wrinkles in some of the things that we didn't understand. You hear me? Okay. Lord, we love You this morning with all our hearts. We hope that You break everything that's traditional in us. Everything we've ever learned or thought, we ask You to break it. And that's foundational, at least clean it up so that it's just You. It's just You, Lord. Whatever I've spoken here this morning, let it fall to the ground. Whatever You have spoken through this vessel, let it enter deep into the hearts and cause the harvest that You have fashioned it for, that You so desire in Your heart. Let us be that lover. Let us be that friend. Let us be that servant. Let us be that messenger that You so desire us to be. Cause this time together to create wisdom, revelation, understanding, discernment, knowledge. And our supreme desire, Father, is to see what You see, feel what You feel, hear what You hear, to know what You know, and let everything else fall to the ground. We hunger and thirst after you. The scripture that began this service and that was in my notes to end was, seek first the kingdom of God. That was the command. Seek first the kingdom of God. Love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul. And know that life is short. And then there's eternity. And whatever we do here, we can't take it with us. We love you, Lord. We trust you. I thank you for the people that you've given. I thank you for the people that you're giving. But most of all, I thank you for your presence, your will, and your word. Use us this week. Don't let us be slack. Don't let us forget you. Don't let us be enthused for the moment. But keep that fire of God in us all the days of our life. And for that, we'll be eternally grateful. We'll give you all of our praise. We do it in Jesus' name, the name that takes all dominion over every weapon that's ever formed, over every negative thought. And everybody that agrees with this and expects it to be alive and real in their lives, say amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.